Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 35, July 1st, 2010. So July it is.
It is.
Well, we made it. That's great. Another 3-day weekend on the way.
Yes, very excited.
Those are awesome.
And it's the best weekend because it's 4th of July, and that means delicious food and...
Maybe new phones?
Maybe not.
Yeah, okay.
For those of you following, my phone was supposed to come this week, my new Android, and it did not.
Android Incredible?
Yes.
Made by HTC?
Made by HTC.
No, that's a Korean company?
You know, I don't know.
Oh, really? You just buy stuff from anywhere? Okay, well, I don't know. I forget what it was the other day. I saw something that was actually made in the USA. I was like, really? That was nice to see.
That wasn't American Apparel?
It was nice to see. No, it was not American Apparel. But anyway, so here we are, July the 1st. Yesterday was, of course, the social media day.
As declared by Mashable.com.
Oh, is that who started this whole thing?
They're the ones running the website. Either they're the sponsor of this idea, or they're the ones who really picked it up and ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I didn't think that much happened in Memphis in the way of social media day.
No, at smday.com, there was a meetup in Memphis, and you could say that you were interested in it, but no one had organized it, and it said it needed an organizer and a location and mm-hmm. a time. So, no, it didn't happen.
Nobody basically. Jumped in there?
Nobody jumped in there.
Wow. Okay.
But we didn't even know about it until 2 days ago. So
Yeah, it was kind of tough to plan for.
Yeah.
I guess this would be the first ever social media day.
Yeah, maybe we'll catch the next one. But the idea is really nice. A day to celebrate the revolution of media becoming social. A revolution. Which it is. I think it is.
Now, in your looking around on this, did you find that June 30th had something to do? Was there something, some site that got launched that day back in history? Or
I didn't see anything like that. Hmm. I think it was just today is the day.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, maybe we'll keep hearing more about the goodness of that and be able to plan for it next year. 364 days away, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, hey, you know, jumping on the off the calendar onto the into the fast lane, there is new developments going on over there by the good folks over at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Yes, there are. They have figured out how to make the internet 100 to 1,000 times faster. Apparently, what slows down the average everyday slow internet, which is getting faster all the time, but what will keep it always from being as fast as it could is the conversion of optical information into electrical signals.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have optical wires, then no conversion is necessary. So it can just translate that image directly without converting it into electrical signal, which will make it much faster, sure. But I guess my issue with this is I can't figure out how this is different from Google's fiber optic network. And so what is so revolutionary about this new MIT thing? And I'm sure that it's all very technical because it's MIT, and I just don't get it. But, you know, they're saying that it will be very expensive to implement because you'll have to replace wires and infrastructure, which...
Wires versus cables.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that will make it very expensive to implement if they ever decide to.
Mm. Yeah, and you're always, you know, it's always the bottleneck. You know, in these things, if you have a fiber optic cable of, you know, that's 100 times fast and it's connected to a slow wire, then the system is going to operate at the speed of the slow wire
because mm-hmm.
it's the bottleneck. So at some point, people may either have to be able to justify redoing those older systems to get them upgraded, or maybe sometimes they just pass on this new technology and see what comes out next, and then they can justify it because who knows. After the 100 times faster thing, there will be the 1,000 times faster deal.
That will, you know, just fly through the air and won't even need cables.
Or devices. You know, someday it'll just go right into your brain.
Exactly.
You know, and at some point, who needs that? You know, put your brain in the cloud. Why have to memorize all that? Why memorize all that when, you know, you're just connected? We'll use our brains for something else.
But you only have so much storage. You know,
it's
like that now, isn't it?
Well,
you only have so much storage in your head.
Yeah, but we're only... But how is it that we only use a certain capacity, a certain percentage of our brains, yet sometimes it just seems so full?
I thought that was a myth.
Oh, was it?
I think it is.
Really? Okay, I didn't get the word. Well, you know, this kind of reminds me of this notion of the early adopters also wind up being the most types of folks that have to rework systems, because they jumped on the bandwagon as early, so their systems become antiquated before other people's do, mm-hmm. who maybe don't get into the game until newer technologies are invented.
Well, didn't that happen to you when you bought the iPad right out the door, and then they came out with the 3G?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It happened there. It also, one of the time that it really hit home for me was a few years ago for a LunaWeb project. I found myself down in South America, down in Chile, and they did not have the infrastructure like the United States does with regards to their phone systems across the whole country there. So they were latecomers, and because they were latecomers, they didn't use a lot of this whole analog copper stuff that we have. They were able to jump right into the digital realm and use digital lines, ISDN specifically. So their whole nation is wired up faster than the United States. They weren't wired up as early as we were, but what they have now exceeds what we have. Well, so
someone has to be the innovator.
Yeah, exactly. So I imagine, with this new development there at MIT that and other things that are going on, at the same time you've got people working very hard to make the internet faster. You also have other people that are out there working very hard to make better compression technologies. So both giving you the same result of getting more information to your machine. And when you have both of these people working together at the same time, you get better compression technologies at the same time that you have better pipe, better connectivity, faster speed, then you really get a boost. Different approaches trying to solve that same problem. Yeah. So anyway, we get to benefit. It's good. So with that, and I have no idea about the Google Fiber thing.
But, yeah. But,
that's over the top of my head. It's free stuff. Yeah, we want it. Right? Free, fast, it all sounds good. I don't know what the third F would be, but who knows? It's not Facebook.
Speaking free, of Facebook.
Free, fast Facebook, yeah.
No, really, though. Speaking
really,
of Facebook.
Really speaking of Facebook.
They've taken another step forward in their approach to privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, applications, if you'll recall, when you used to install them, sometimes they would ask, will you give this application permission to access your information? And it was very vague, and you weren't really sure, but, you wanted to play Farmville.
Somebody wanted to play Farmville.
Somebody wanted to play Farmville. It wasn't me. And so they allowed it. But now applications have to tell you exactly what information in your profile they're going to ask you for permission for. So they have to say, I'd like permission for photos or location or, all of the information that you have on Facebook. It has to say that specifically if it wants access to all of your information, or if it doesn't need access to all of your information, it has to ask for specific portions of your Facebook profile. More options for guarding your privacy, always good, and definitely a step forward for Facebook.
Yeah, that was good. Nice to see that. I'm still a little application shy myself.
Me too, but I haven't really found any applications on Facebook that I've wanted or found mm-hmm. to enhance the experience of Facebook.
Right. There's more to be said there on that, I'm sure. The whole experience of Facebook and why we don't install additional applications. I think it's going to take some official recognized know-how to get in there. And my thinking on this is going to be that it's going to be Microsoft, particularly how they have a little piece of the Facebook pie. And with that, Microsoft has a huge need to start offering services in the cloud, because that's their competition right now. And they have a whole lot of people, almost a whole planet worth of businesses out there trying to, get a piece of the Microsoft lunch. So because of they own a little sliver of Facebook, and because Facebook has so many users, so many people who are using it not only just for fun but also for work, that Microsoft is going to have be looking at Facebook to get more things into the cloud. And I think that would be a nice official, recognizable, trustable name that can get us those Facebook applications kind of kickstarted.
Yeah.
And then people will start seeing it more as a business tool. Right now we use a tool like Socialcast here at LunaWeb to help keep us connected here, which is like our own little microblogging platform. So it's kind of like Twitter here within LunaWeb. But imagine that same functionality being able to be used on Facebook. So now at the same time we're in there talking with our clients and commenting on what they're doing, that we're also using Facebook to help us interact together and to create documents, proposals and project updates and all the documents that go along with the business, and being able to actually pay Facebook for the use of these tools. That's where I see. So when Facebook came out with the there were those three pilot applications. One of them was Microsoft that Office, Microsoft Docs, mm-hmm. Docs.com. It's like, okay, here we go. You know, so that I see that as being something that's going to need to kickstart people's willingness to try new applications on Facebook.
So you think that individual profiles would still be free, but then businesses could pay for Facebook Premium,
right,
and get some awesome extra applications? That would be great.
Sure, you know, and some collaborative workspaces and this kind of thing within there, and that's already set up. You already got these security things set up, so hey, why not pay for them? And businesses find value in this. You know, they don't have to keep giving stuff away.
That's what Google Wave was trying to be mm-hmm. that collaborative platform social network.
Yeah,
and it just didn't take off for them.
Yeah,
just like I think this rumor about Google Me, which is supposed to be Google's up and coming social network that may or may not just be a carbon copy of Facebook, but with the Google name. Apparently the lowdown on that is that Google had thought way back when that Facebook would never be big enough to threaten them, that Facebook wasn't going to be one of the major players.
Right.
And then they are.
Yeah.
And so now Google definitely wants to get into the social media, but they haven't done a very good job so far. I mean, Google Buzz kind of flopped on its face, mm-hmm. wasn't as good as Twitter, and there's no evidence to suggest that their social network is going to have any features that Facebook doesn't.
Yeah, we'll see. I look forward to seeing what they come out with. You know, Google has this thing called Orkut. It's a social network. It's real popular in other places, not in the United States. That's Orkut. You can go create an Orkut account. You know, hey, friend me up. I'm on there. You know, I never go, but I've got a profile there on Orkut. Who knows? Maybe we'll see what happens here. I know earlier this year, maybe 3 months ago, I think Facebook overtook Google with regard to eyeballs. So they're not necessarily using Facebook as a search tool, mm-hmm. but as far as people spending time on the site and that kind of thing, I know it overtook Google. I'm sure Google is not real happy about it.
No.
And so, you know, Google's also, you know, just finally released their new version of their search engine called Caffeine. So it takes a look at some of the things that are out there, namely one, how fast your site is, and then also it was to take a look at how old the information was on there, so more relevant, more current type information. So Google is, you know, it can't sit it there. When you're the king of the hill, everybody wants your lunch, you know, so everybody wants a piece of that Google pie. And as more and more people are finding value in what other people recommend and what other humans like about something, then, and I say that in a very literal way, the like thing, instead of a algorithm that's being driven by a robot like Google to go out and rank pages, there's something to make Google a little uneasy there, and I think reasonably so.
I think it's funny. I was thinking about this today. It seems like Google, Microsoft, Apple, and Facebook have become the super celebrities now. You know, instead of watching the battle over whether Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera is getting more popularity, mm-hmm. people more and more are focusing on these four companies as like the big celebrities, like they're the ones making news, and
yeah.
entertainment news gets pushed down. Or maybe it's just because I'm in this industry and that's all I read. But it does seem like these companies, these logos, not even Mark Zuckerberg, not even, you know, the CEOs of these companies, but the companies themselves, the names, have been rocketed to like superstar, mm-hmm. you know, celebrity gossip status.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know, what catches me off guard is the realization sometimes that these companies have more power, more economic power than countries. And if that's all that mattered, then, you know, these could be nations all their own.
The Google Nation.
You know, they definitely have more information about a lot of people than I think people realize. Of course, they fall under a different set of laws than a government does. Mm-hmm. So they're allowed to have other things than the government does, which, of course, I don't know that we've ever mentioned on here, Google has a street view. So when you're searching around Google Maps, you can find yourself on a street view. Well, one of their guys, evidently, programmed into their vehicles when they're going around getting these street views to listen to wireless traffic. So if you had a Wi-Fi connection at your house, and so at the same time Google was taking a picture as they were driving by, they were also recording what kind of data was going in and out. And Google, official Google, didn't know this. This was some crafty engineer, evidently, who, you know, wrote this thing. So there's a lot of people that are not happy about that.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. So very, very interesting. Yeah. So,
it's funny that you said they have more influence than countries, because probably if the U.S. had all of the information Google did, they wouldn't have to put all this effort into getting the U.S. census.
Oh,
they'd
yeah.
probably just have all the information they need.
Yeah. And it's so weird that that's only done every 10 years now. I mean, that is in eons these days. Mm-hmm. 10 years is amazing. You know, you also had noted that there seems to be, although it's not terribly official at this moment.
And I don't believe it.
Really, that Verizon may finally start carrying the iPhone. I almost hate to say it.
Supposedly in January 2011.
This is like mañana.
But, you know, the sources on this, one source, Bloomberg, says that they knew a guy who knew a guy who said...
Right.
That the iPhone was going to be on Verizon in January. And we've heard this rumor before, and so nobody get excited about this.
Yeah.
But, you know, the headlines all read, Verizon will offer the iPhone in January 2011. And then you read the first line of the article, and it's like, supposedly, we heard.
Right. Yeah. So at least they're disclaiming their you know, their sources and whatnot. I did find it interesting that the iPhone is having these problems with their antenna.
Oh, it's hilarious. Which, you're holding it wrong. It
attenuates, yeah, the ability to get a good signal, depending on how you hold it. And then Steve Jobs was asked about this, and he said something about, what, just don't hold it that way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think Nokia put out an ad that said, you know, you can hold our phones however you want.
Yes, exactly. So I know Motorola did, for sure, on their Droid, about holding any way you'd like.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, oh, well, I don't know how that ever happened, but these things do. So... Maybe it'd be a good time for Apple to start taking a look at social media. I'm sure they've heard of it by now.
Probably.
You know, and so where they could be a little more transparent. You know, so when the CEO sticks his foot way down his throat, you know, they have a nice backpedal. You know,
an emergency broadcast system.
An emergency broadcast system. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, one other thing that I found to be particularly interesting is this. Posterous, depending on how you, I don't know how you actually say it. I didn't run into a posterous or a posterous somebody at South by Southwest, which is it's another notable thing that's good to go by at South by Southwest. You can learn how to pronounce these things that you only read, you know, from the companies that are there. But so posterous is evidently coming out or has this tool available or soon to be available. As soon as they release it, it will go farm your TwitPic account and get all your photos out of TwitPic and suck them on over into Posterous, which is great. We're talking about data portability here, you know, which is a wonderful thing. But evidently, TwitPic is trying to put the kibosh on this and letting Posterous know that there could be legal action if they release this tool.
Mm.
You know, it kind of makes TwitPic look bad. It's like, oh, wait, you are going to keep my business by the fact that I've spent hours uploading stuff to you, and now... you're going to get upset if I use some automated means to go copy all my photos and take them somewhere else. They're my photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is an issue. We see this come up time and time again. We saw it come up earlier with Facebook, where there was that system that would let you back up your Facebook account just to make a backup of it. And they shut that system down. They disallowed this other system from coming into your Facebook account and getting all your photos and getting all your videos and all your comments and backing that up. There was a company that actually created this. And so Facebook shut the door on them so that that application would not work anymore. Same kind of thing.
Logic there was.
Well, you know, this all goes to this whole privacy and, you know, the copywriting of the information and who owns what, you know, versions of things. And so it was interesting to see this happen. There's this whole data portability issue that's afoot, and you hear people talk about from time to time. It's like, well, no, if I get sick and tired of Facebook, I should be able to pack up my stuff, whether I do it one at a time by hand or if I pay some other company, like an online moving service, to go take my stuff and go pack it up and haul it over here to this other place. You should be able to do that, but right now you can't. You know, and these companies, they're scared to have this. You know, the barriers to entry are low, and if you can get people to actually start using your service, that's great. But then if you're afraid of the better mousetrap sucking them away,
mm-hmm.
you can't, out of that fear, oppress, you know, I don't know, what do you want to call it? You know, brute force, keep them from automatically taking your data out of there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh, if you want to do it easily, no, we won't let you. But if you want to do it by hand, sure, we love you. We don't. You can take all your photos and make a copy of them, and which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So anyway, so data portability has got, there's a long way to, a lot of stuff yet to happen with that, and yet to be defined, and standards, and on as we head off into this digital frontier.
I've often been frustrated that I can't upload videos to YouTube and then draw them into Facebook, or upload video photos to Flickr and then draw them into Facebook. And I realize all of this is because they're under different companies. Facebook probably doesn't want me messing with YouTube because it's Google, and they don't want me messing with Flickr because it's Yahoo.
Yeah.
And so they don't make it easy to just import data like that, which would be super convenient
because mm-hmm.
you could have the same albums on Facebook as you had on Flickr. Make my life easy.
Which is one of the reasons why it's appealing for Facebook to come up with these tools that they came out with here recently, these widgets that they let you put on your website. So now you don't have to put your photo inside of Facebook in order for somebody to like it. You could put it on your Posturist blog or your blog or your own photo website.
Mm-hmm.
Put the Facebook like button over there outside of the walled garden of Facebook, and then people can like it on your site. Your stuff's not locked up inside of Facebook. So it's that social network kind of spilling out beyond the walled garden, which is nice. And I think that's very insightful on Facebook's part, you know, to do this.
And ambitious.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's happening. You know, even we are getting ready to have our own Luniversity classes, which are these courses that we offer our clients. And this next semester, this next series of classes is definitely going to involve letting our clients know how they can take advantage of some of these Facebook widgets by putting them on their site and why they ought to do that. And they've proven already to be very successful, very, very successful tools to have on the site, and can get more people looking at good content, you know. So it's not a trick, you know, to get people on your site. You got to have good stuff to start off with. Things that people like. And that's the whole thing where the people like it versus the thing we were talking about a minute ago where Google's robot thinks it needs to rank high.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that's the kind of angle that we're coming at it right now. It's like, no, get those like buttons on your site now, because someday how many people like your stuff is going to determine how well it ranks versus classic search engine optimization techniques.
Do you think Facebook will come up with a general web search engine all its own based on the data it's collecting from mm-hmm. there?
Yep. And I think where you see that is they're kind of ignoring their search engine. Facebook search right now, it bites. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of trash. It's a little bit better than it used to be. But I think they're just kind of, I get the feeling that they're working on it. They're letting it sit there for better days and really going to come out with something that works very well. And at the same time, you see Google trying different things out with their own search engine almost daily. So I do see that Facebook's going to try and go for the Google lunch and start and really open up their search and let you start searching for more things. Make it, you know, a better utility, search utility.
Well, that's fair. Google's after their lunch.
Yeah.
So with Google me. So.
Yeah. So, hey, the stuff that we've got coming up, you know, so of course there's no breakfast. We've never had one in July, but we'll have the Twilight Camp.
On the 15th?
Yes. Which is, that's a Wednesday or Thursday?
That is a Thursday.
Thursday, okay.
At
Bronte Bistro, which is the little restaurant there inside of Davis Kid.
From about 5:30 to 7:30.
Yeah.
And that's casual, free. Show up, stay as long as you can.
We had such a crowd last time, we almost had to break up into groups.
It was great.
So, yeah, if you missed, missed out on the Twilight Camp, visit socialexpedition.com. And check out the cool blog post there with some nice links to some resources that are there, as well as some of the things that were talked about, which this last time around was predominantly the iPad.
And if you were there and you remember something that we talked about that didn't make it into the notes, please go and comment. Tell us about it. Give us a link. We would like to remind everyone that Dave is going to this awesome privacy conference in August. And if you have any concerns regarding privacy or privacy policy that you would like him to bring up at that conference, just leave us a comment somewhere on our blog, you know, for this post, or send us a tweet at SM Expedition on Twitter, or visit us on Facebook at
facebook.socialexpedition.com.
Great.
And also, I just got wind of this thing yesterday, is a meetup coming along next week, so July the 8th.
That's not called a meetup. That's called a tweet-up.
A tweet-up, yes, it's a tweet-up on Thursday the 8th with Mac Collier and Christina Curley. I always call her CK Says. It's her Twitter handle. And this is going to be, oh, geez, at 6:30 on the patio of...
Dan McGinnis.
Thank you very much. So, yeah, so that's July the 8th. If you want to look, follow my tweets, just go to at twitter.com/LaLunaBlanca, La Luna Blanca, and you'll see some tweets there that have a link to this Twitvite, which is a great website. So you can go ahead and RSVP. Right now there's 5 people have RSVP'd for this event next Thursday, and we look forward to having them in town. And I haven't seen them since Social South, which was last fall. They were both there, and in fact that's where I met CK, and I had seen Mac a few times before over at South by Southwest. But good folks, they really have their heart in the right spot with regard to the social media things that's going on. Mac also hosts the blog chat on Sunday evenings, which is a fantastic Twitter chat to check out, with a whole lot of participation out there. These Twitter chats are a unique phenomena. If you've never looked at one. There's one on journalism. There's one on using social media in medicine. There's this one, of course, that Mac heads up called the blog chat. And what they do is there's essentially 3 questions that are posed out there in the course of an hour. And so it would be topic 1 is posted, and then you have anywhere from 12 to 100 people start chiming in on this particular topic. And then it's kind of brainstormed through Twitter for a period of time, and then we move on to the next question.
Neat.
It is very, very awesome, and it'll spin your wheels for the rest of Sunday night and on into Monday, no doubt. So check that out. Anyway, so that's it. Did you already talk about the breakfast on the April the 4th? I'm sorry, August the 4th?
We've got our breakfast in August, on August 4th.
And we are still hoping to firm this up with our
surprise guest.
Yeah, it's going to be, well, I don't know. We're still looking on down the road here, 6-5 weeks away.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're all right.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskall, available online at ericmaskall.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.